It's time to get away. And to help get you there, it's Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. From around the world to across Georgia, she covers it all. Now, here's the host of Travel Bags, Anita Thomas.
Hello, 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 and welcome aboard Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, I am so happy that you guys are joining me today because I am continuing my series of human interest stories and stories that are all around different destinations that you can visit, but the people that make them very interesting, intriguing, and really inspire you to want to go there. Today, we are featuring Chef Benjamin Dennis, who's also known as BJ and also known as the Gullah Chef. And the reason why he's known for that is he specializes in Gullah cooking and foodways, as well as the culture and how we can connect the two. So I had a chance to sit down with him over on beautiful Sapelo Island along with Doc Beale under some big live oak trees about 200 years old with the Spanish moss blowing in the wind, and we just sat down and had a conversation over gumbo that Doc Beale had made. So it was a fascinating conversation to hear not only his story of how he started cooking, as well as how he has traveled to West Africa and the Caribbean to see the connection between food that we know as Southern food and the original traditional Southern food and how it has changed, but how you can also see the threads of that food running through different destinations all around the world. Now, I invite you to sit back and listen to my conversations with BJ, with Chef BJ, the Gullah Chef, but also take a couple of notes because you will want to go and visit Charleston and check out some of this great food that he is talking about. So here's the start of my conversation with BJ. So BJ, first of all, thank you so much for coming over to Sapelo and spending some time and kind of seeing what we're always talking about. But right. I know you have kind of your own knowledge of the Low Country and, you know, all the different barrier islands and the history and how they connect
yes.
with our culture and, you know, with everything, you know, with us. I know you kind of already have that knowledge and everything. But thank you very much for coming and joining us.
Thank you all for having me. It's a special place here. But the Low Country is special in general, but first time on Sapelo, one of the few islands that's still kind of, in a lot of people's eyes, very exotic, and I hate to use that word, but exclusive. Mm. Like, if you don't know somebody, you have a hard time getting over here to really see and reach the people.
That's true, that's true. And in some ways, I think it's kind of designed that way, and I think that people want to keep it that way, because just yesterday, I was speaking with someone, and she said that, I love coming to Sapelo, but I don't tell anybody about it, because I don't want it to change.
Right. Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I kind of felt bad. I put it on social media a few weeks ago that I'm heading to Sapelo, and you know, you can go to Sapelo, but to reach the people, you got to know somebody.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of, people like, hey, can you hook me up? I'm like, I don't know if I can hook you up like that. But, you know, it's these islands are beautiful, and this is a special place. And I'm just very honored to be here and kind of just relaxing, too. But, you know, to connect with a few folks and learn the landscape is very important. And also to let people realize that we are one Gullah Geechee culture. Mm. And we the same up and down the coast. Mm. We like red rice. We like our okra shrimp. We eat our seafood. So, you know, it's also just connecting everybody. Mm-hmm. And reaching out to those who may feel like that they're not say different, but we are very, 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 very similar.
Absolutely. But now, as you're saying that, though, I would love for you to share with everyone, like, where you're from. I mean, because you are actually from, you know, this area, this Low Country area. So you definitely know exactly what you're talking about with that.
Yeah, well, I was born and raised in Charleston. I grew up West Ashley, was, I guess you, people say, is the city, but outside of downtown Charleston. Mm-hmm. Near Maryville, which is a historical black community that at one point was its own town in the city of Charleston years ago. So I grew up there. My roots and my family roots are really from, my daddy is from, his family is from Daniel Island. Some people say call it Thomas Island also, which is Wando, Clements Ferry, Kanehoy Village, Jack Primus, which is one of the oldest. Jack Primus is actually one of the oldest free settlements of black people in the area, in the Low Country, well, in Charleston. I think it was 17, I don't know the exact dates, early 1700s. Mm. And my mother is from Allendale County, which technically we would call freshwater Geechies.
Okay.
Even though when I would go home, they'd be like, go up there, that's all, my Geechee cousin coming down here, up here. But she's from Allendale County. Mm-hmm. Both my parents grew up off the land. I mean, not because they wanted to, they had no choice. Yeah. So, you know, this land and living off the land and learning about, you know, agriculture kind of was rooted in me. Because I had to spend time, we had times we had to go out in the field. Or my parents would have a little plot in the backyard. Or if I go see my grandfather, my first memories is being out there on Clements Ferry with my grandfather, picking okra. Learning how to put the seed in the ground, you know, distinguishing between pulling the weed and pulling the plant.
Yeah.
So you know, it was a beautiful thing coming up. You know, it was embedded in me, even though it was something that I never thought I would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say, when you do things as a youth and you may not have enjoyed it as a youth,
yeah,
it always comes back full circle to you.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. But now this brings me now to also letting the listeners know what you do. So you are a chef.
Yes.
And quite a renowned one as well.
Yeah, I'm a personal chef and caterer in Charleston. I came up in the restaurant scenes in Charleston. I started off as a dishwasher and worked my way up through some of the high-end kitchens in the city. And actually left in 2004 and spent 4 years in the Virgin Islands in St. Thomas. That's where it kind of it hit me about your roots and culture, and like, be unapologetic about who you are. Because over there, you would ride around, you see murals of, you know, leaders throughout the African diaspora. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be on, looking at a TV show spoken in the Creole language, their language. You know, like Indie Water, and it's E-N-D-A-W-A-T-A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the most important thing for me was people knew about the Gullah culture. And St. Thomas was full of people from all other islands. St. Kitts, Haiti, Dominican Republic. I remember sometimes when I first moved there, I didn't want to get animated because when I get animated, the accent really comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being out one night with some of the fellas and they be like, oh, man, where he from? He's from Down Island. And I'm like, no, I'm from Charleston. And one of the guys said, oh, you one of them Gullah people. Y'all related to us. And that opened my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
again, it's like the same people.
Yep. And then over the years of my time staying there, people knew about our culture.
Mm.
And I even had people school me on our history when I was over there. So, but yeah, so I'm a personal chef and caterer, and I spent time overseas and came back to Charleston in 2008. And around, I would say 2011, started doing the Gullah Geechee pop-ups, like restaurant takeovers.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically showing our food ways that was more than just fried chicken and mac and cheese.
Mm. And collard greens.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's about the different peas, a different variety of greens,
mm-hmm.
The seafood,
mm-hmm.
You know, growing the stuff that I ate growing up. There was always something green in the pot. There was always vegetables there. And I wanted to showcase that. I didn't want to showcase what we would call soul food. You know, soul food was the migration of our cuisine to the north and west coast when people didn't have access anymore to the things they had in the south, so they took the things that they could do, the celebratory foods,
yeah,
the fried chicken, the macaroni and cheese,
mm-hmm.
You know, but where was the oyster perlow? Where was that? Where was the Geechee fried shrimp?
Mm-hmm.
Geechee fried okra and shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't talking about deep fried. We talking about that pan sauteed,
yeah,
okra with that shrimp over some white rice. Make you slap somebody.
I know it's good. It really has me eating okra. It's good stuff.
Yes,
it's
definitely
good stuff. But now we need to stop here and take a break. But when we come back, I definitely want to talk with you because when we've talked before, I can definitely see how you also can connect West Africa to the Low Country, to our culture. Because people say all the time, you know, oh, well, that's from West Africa, or our enslaved ancestors, you know, brought this or that back from West Africa. But you've actually gone to West Africa, and you know that connection. So I want us to talk about that when we come back. Now, we'll stop here for a break, but when we come back, we'll pick right back up with my conversation with BJ. Now, this show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses, and you too can go to Sapelo, sit under that 200-year-old oak tree, and have some gumbo as well, or something prepared by some of the local cooks on the island. You can check out their website at sapeloislandbirdhouses.com. Back in a moment here on Travel Bags with Anita and Fred.
Down in Charleston lives old Geechee Joe.